Thankful for all the Lord is doing by His grace and mercy. And I want to tell you, I love you, church family. You're the greatest people in the world. And, you know, I can honestly say over and over again, this is the church love built. And that understanding is not just words. It's a reality of lives that have lived out that love. And I count it a great honor to be with you today. And dads, I'm glad you're getting this ball because this will help you whenever there's any stress. But one man with great wisdom came up to me this morning, and he said, now, you not only want to squeeze it like this, and I won't tell you who it was. I wouldn't want to tell you Dave where he said this. But Dave said, here's where you want to put it. Yes, dear. Yes. When he said, put it underneath your chin, I thought he was talking about my turkey neck, but no, it's saying yes, dear. And so, men, that's a word of wisdom, okay? And I tell you, it's so wonderful to come and to share on this Father's Day. And, you know, it was a year ago that we celebrated our 44th anniversary as your pastors, and then this will be 45 years this year. But to make the transition and see Pastor Jim and Lisa, I'm so proud of you guys and so thankful for you and the grace of God upon your life. And I think of Pastor Chris and Pastor Tim. You know, the amazing thing is the Lord raised this leadership up through our church family. I want to tell you, that's an amazing thing. And do you realize that all across our nation, there's a drought of young leaders coming up? Matter of fact, in the next 10 years, we'll lose half of our pastors, either through death or retirement. And there's not that many young people coming on. I'm thankful that we have young people that are raised up, that have a heart to serve the Lord. So I honor you, Pastor Jim and Lisa. I honor Pastor Tim and Pastor Chris. And I'm so thankful God has raised you up. I think of Pastor Tim. I've known him a lot of years. I've worked with him over 10 years plus and watched him go through real struggles and the forming of character and quality in his life. I remember with Pastor Chris when the Radke family came, and Chris was about this tall then, and they came and just had moved here and said that they were going to be attending church. Was there anything they could do to help out, like mow grass, do work around and that? I wanted to go over and pinch him. I thought they were angels unaware, you know. But I watched them grow up. I remember we had his car sitting in our garage for a year while he was over in Rome studying. And I just thank the Lord for what he's doing. And I want to say this, dear church family, it's so important that we understand how we transition in growth by grace, and we may struggle, but we get strength through the struggle. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is going to bless in a special way. And listen, you need this young leadership as a church family for what God wants to do for the future. I'm thankful for all your love for me. But many churches today, you can go in and there's all gray hair because we're not reaching our young people. I thank you that we have a church here that honors and reaches out and loves young people, and we can have all the instruments, and that you stand here and worship and really get into that understanding of reaching the next generation. Thank you for that. Listen, you need them, but please know this, they need you, and we'll work together. We're better together. Amen? Amen. So I praise the Lord that I can come and share with you. I want to share a message with you today entitled, He Gave. And it's from the most familiar portion of all the Bible. God so loved the world, He did what? He gave. And I hope you can make it so personal. Put your name in there. He so loved you. Put your name there. That He gave. What did He give? What He gave determined the value of what He would get. And that was you. And if you ever feel devalued, worthless, it's because you don't understand how much you're loved. And if you could understand this morning how much you're loved, it would absolutely take your breath away. I want to tell you, if you knew how much you were loved, you wouldn't have a hard time coming to church. You wouldn't feel like you have to go to church. You have to give, or you have to. You would be so excited to do it because you're loved. That kind of love, Peter didn't understand for a long time. He's always saying how much he loved the Lord. John's the one that understood. He said, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. And he's the only man standing at the cross. He's the only one that could take the heat when things started happening. And I want to tell you, I pray today that we can be people that know the power of that love working in us for what God wants to do in the future. Amen? I believe for the Holy Spirit to bring that about. Now, ladies, I do want to speak just a quick word to you, because we men, we get confused at times. We don't understand you, okay? We try to, but God made us quite different for good reasons. But ladies, When we look and we see things and you tell us things, many times you tell us what's going on, and immediately we try to fix it. And you say to us, I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to listen. And then, so then we listen. But then you say, why aren't you talking to me? And so we get a little confused. Now, here's what confuses me too. I work hard, I get all dressed, I get ready to go out the door, and Sharon will look at me and say, you gonna wear that today? Well, no, I was just going out to get the mail. I'm gonna come back and change. But of all things, ladies, you'll put shoes on, one brown and one black. And then you'll come and ask our opinion. We don't know. Which one looks best? Now, I want to tell you, after 51 years of marriage, I want to give you a word, man. When she comes out and does that, you know, you just kind of, don't say anything, because you won't get it right. Don't say anything. Just kind of go, And pretty soon she'll say, oh, I want the black one. And I was, that's what I was thinking. And listen, you're not lying. You thought of it as soon as she said it, right? So ladies, we do get a little confused sometimes, but we're so thankful for you and thankful for God's love. And listen, we really need to understand about fathers. I've shared this with you many times, but 17% of the time, if a child comes to the Lord, the whole family will come to the Lord. 33% of the time, if mom comes to the Lord, the whole family will come to the Lord. But listen, when dad comes to Jesus, 93% of the time, the whole family will come to the Lord. Listen, this is an order in which God set things up. It's a Father God that loved us. The whole idea of a family comes from a Father, our Father, which art in heaven. He wants us to understand that. And it's so important that we realize that's why men are under attack in such a powerful way. I heard on the news just this morning that there's a feminist group that wants to do away with the holiday of Father's Day because of the fact it's degrading to women. It's not making them equal. And I'll tell you what, it's so hard to be a man, especially a man of God. One of the reasons, men, I want you to come to Man of God meetings and I call you and I press you about that is because I don't want to just deliver sermons to you. I want to be able to see you delivered to be the man of God He's called you to be. And anytime you come to the point where you say, I don't need that, you're at a wonderful place where God can bless you and use you, and you can now learn to give because you've come to the place that God's blessed you to where it's not just about your need, but what you can be able to give because of what God has done in your heart. That's a wonderful place. That's where we stop many times, and that's where we need to start. So, man, I'll be after you, okay? But God bless you, and I'm so thankful for a wonderful church family. You are known for your giving as a church. I want to tell you, when I meet with leaders in that, they talk about this church and the people in this church. The understanding of how we give to missions and what we do, and we're a part of seeing 2.5 million people come to Christ last year. Of an understanding of God's grace that's working in that special way. You know, we were just in Dallas last month for our international convention. There was 3,000 that gathered there from all around the nation. And it was a wonderful time to be able to listen and to hear what the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit around the world. I'll be flying out this next Sunday, and I really regret I will not be able to connect with David Pendleton in that time, because I fly out Sunday for a week of board meetings. And this is a time where there's about 20 of us that meet together, and then with the committees and everything out there, it ends up being 35 or 40. But this is the decision-making body for our entire organization. And I covet your prayers. Because as we meet together and plan together to hear what God wants to do, it's all about reaching people for the love of Jesus Christ, or with the love of Christ. And I would ask that you pray that God will bless us in a special way. But in this last meeting at International Convention, I really appreciated Francis Chan coming and sharing with us. And some of you are familiar from the time that we went through the booklet called Crazy Love. And that understanding that Francis brings out about the world looks at it and they can't make sense of it. But if you really understand what the Word is about and how much God loves us, you would understand how crazy that love can be according to the world, but how wonderful it is for you and me. But Francis talked to us about the church in America. As a matter of fact, he said that he talked with Chinese leaders, and they asked about the church in America and what's happening in the church of America and how does it function. And Francis talked about that quite a lot because the things that he had to say were really challenging. The thing that he talked about, the fact that in America we're easily offended, and because of that we can't stay connected. One of the greatest things we had in this past meeting is the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit the way we just simply humbled our heart and stopped the business and prayed. A great humbling of all the convention body to come and to seek the Lord and pray. Let God have his way. And I want to tell you, there was a welding together by the word of the living God that happened in our hearts in such a powerful way. And that must happen in the body of Christ today. But he talks about the fact that Christianity in America, we're easily offended. And so many times too, we just look for our need to be met. It's kind of like looking for a spiritual sale. And if there's a spiritual sale going on at this church, we go there, we go there, we go there, we go there. If there's a sale at Fairway, we go there. If there's a sale at Jewel's, we go there. If there's a sale out at Walmart, we go there. Listen, folks, we need to be planted in the bodies that pleases the Lord and produce and grow. And thank God for every place that's producing and really reaching souls. But find a place where you can get locked into the love of Jesus Christ and grow by his grace. Amen? That's so important for us to understand. And when I think about being the areas of us being offended, I'd like to show this picture of Billy Graham. Billy Graham talks about this some, and all the news we hear in our culture today about being politically correct. We don't want to offend anyone. I like what he says. Our society strives to avoid any possibility of offending anyone except God. And, you know, it was just on the news. They took it out of a graduation because one person complained they wouldn't use the name of the Lord. And what we live in this day is the spirit of Antichrist. Please understand that. And it's not people. Don't get upset with people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you don't understand that, you'll be wrestling with people. You'll have an opinion. You'll be wrestling with politicians all the time. Instead of an understanding, there's a greater battle going on according to the Word. Get into the Word. You can only avoid the war so long. And God, by the power of the Spirit, wants to make us aware that we stand here this day and that we can really, really make a difference. Now, American Christianity is many times looking for comfort rather than understanding that the battle goes on. And I wanted to say before, you can only ignore the war so long. But the power of the Holy Spirit wants us to step in and make a difference and really stand together as the body of Christ. It reminded me of something that I read a long time ago and I shared with you once before, but it's called The Building. It said, 10 little Christians standing in line. One disliked the pastor, and then there was nine. Nine little Christians stayed up late, one slept on Sunday, and then there was eight. Eight little Christians on their way to heaven, one took the low road, and then there were seven. Seven little Christians chirping like some chicks, one disliked the music, and then there were six. Sorry, Pastor John. Six little Christians seemed very much alive, but one lost his interest, and then there was five. Five little Christians pulling for heaven's shore. One stopped to rest, and then there was four. Four little Christians, busy as they could be. One got his feelings hurt, and then there was three. Three little Christians knew not what to do. One joined the sporting crowd, and then there was two. Two little Christians. My rhyme is nearly done. They differed with one another. And then there was only one, Sister Aberson, if you remember my sermon on that. One little Christian can't do much, but he brought his friend to a Bible study, and then there was two. Two earnest Christians, each one more. That doubled the number, and then there was four. Four sincere Christians worked early and late, each one another, and then there was eight. Eight splendid Christians, if doubled as before, in 10 or 12 weeks, they'd have 1,024. In this little jingle, there's a lesson that's true. You either belong to the building or the wrecking crew. Amen? I want to be part of what Jesus said. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That takes some strength. That takes some character. That's what happens on Monday morning when Pastor John said, well, Monday morning is Monday morning. And what you do and how you live at that time makes all the difference. You know, you hear so much bad news. I'm always looking for good news because that comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And listen, when I talk about He gave and about we are a giving church, please don't grab your billfold and think, oh, that's it. He's talking about money. No, we give of our time, our talent, our treasure. But please know this. Anything you have above zero came from God. You wouldn't have anything to give. Matter of fact, if God hadn't given, you wouldn't be here today. And the understanding of the privilege of being able to give, of having something to give. How many of you have ever had a time in your life you didn't have anything to give? Your money, you were on the bottom side. And now God's blessed you. And it can be harder to give when you got something than when you don't have anything. And the Holy Spirit so wants to awaken our hearts to the privilege of what it is to give and to see the good news of what's going on. Listen, it's hard to find some good news out of Iran, but I heard some 2 weeks ago. Glenn Burris, our president, told a beautiful story about what happened there. And it's an amazing story to happen in that culture. But see, in that culture, when somebody's convicted of a crime, they have quick punishment. And one young man killed another. And that young man immediately was sentenced to be hanged until dead. Now, they don't do it with a fancy gallows or anything. They stand them on a chair, put a bag on their head, stand them on a chair, and when it's time, they just kick the chair out and his life will be taken. The amazing thing, that part of the culture, and in some places, the family or the parents in this case could execute the judgment. They could kick the chair out. They could see that man pay the price for killing their son. And they're there, and everything's set, and the son, was killed brought great grief to this family, but the other family, the mom and dad are standing there, and their son comes out, the bag's put on him, he's put on the chair, the rope's put around his neck, and the mom come over, and she told that young man, "You bend your head down here." And he bent down, and she pulled that off, and she slapped him. And she said, "I forgive you." The dad went over and he took the noose off of the young man's head. And he helped that young man off the chair. And that mom and dad walked that son over to his parents. And he was released back to them. I want to tell you something. All giving starts with forgiving. Amen. It does. And if you don't forgive, you're the prisoner. I don't know if you've got anybody pigeonholed or not, but I'm going to talk some about that today, because the greatest thing you'll ever give anybody, including yourself especially, is to forgive. God so loved, he gave, and he forgave. Hang on that cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's so important that we understand that he gave and he keeps giving. And you and I must keep giving all the time too. Giving is the highest form of living. We're made in the image of God, and he's a giver. And it's only when you give your life away that you'll ever find it. It's in the giving that you'll get what you really need in this life. Some people are just thinking, if I can get enough, then I'll have it together, and then I can give. No, you'll never do that. And if you can't thank God for what you have that's not enough, you'll never get enough. You'll never have enough. Thank God for what he's done, what he's given to you. When we get into that, we can see his goodness and grace and mercy. We can understand, too, how God will guide and lead us. And please know this, God will not judge you for who you are and what you are now, but he will judge you for what you refuse to become. Because we have a purpose and a plan. God will judge you for what you refuse to become. And listen, that's a personal, intimate thing. I can't tell you that as a preacher, but I can tell you the reaching power of the Holy Spirit of God will speak to you and make it clear of what he wants to do. And you have to make decisions all the time about what God's going to do to direct and perfect your life for what he wants. But I can sum up the whole Bible with these two words. He gave. He gave. Love doesn't mean anything unless you give it. Forgiveness doesn't mean anything unless you give it. The whole deal of an understanding about God giving, and Jesus stands at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for you and I. Why? To give us what we need, to give us a hope and an understanding. But it's never to stop with us. It's so it overflows in us for what God really wants. That love is something that we have to have ongoingly, and it will really cost you. One of my great heroes of the faith was there at our convention. His name is Mason Hughes. Mason, we celebrated Mason and Virginia's 60 years in ministry. I've known him for a lot of years. He's one of my heroes from the early days of my Christian experience. They were in Papua New Guinea. That's where they went. God called them there. And they went to the places that was so hard that the people were like in Stone Age. They were still practicing cannibalism and all of the terrible things that were going on there. There was no roads back to these people. There's no way to get to them. You couldn't even walk on dry ground and get to them. And what Mason would do was walk in hip-deep swamp water to get back to where those people are. Now, he would have to time this 10 minutes on his clock. Every 10 minutes, he'd have to climb up on a log and pull the leeches off that had gotten on his legs. Had he not done that, they would have sucked him dry before he ever got where he was going. But he was willing to do that. And they went there and preached, and not many received, and it was hard. But they persisted, and they believed for what God would do. And I want to tell you, there's something so beautiful that you can look at there today. You can see across the South Pacific area of that whole arena, there's over 2 million people that know the Lord in 20,000 churches. And most of that will date back to one man walking through the water, pulling the leeches off on the logs, because there's something of the love of God got in his heart. It wasn't just how much Mason loved God. It's how much Mason understood God loved him and how much God loved other people. Listen, if you're offended, you can't get mended. You have to discover what it is to let freedom of forgiveness flow in your family, in your heart. Those leeches that'll get on you if you just try to go across the street and invite somebody to come to the David Penland thing. It'll try to suck the testimony out of you. It'll try to suck you dry time and time again. That's when you need to know the power of the blood and the word of your testimony. Amen? I want to tell you something. When Jesus gets real in your heart, you shouldn't be able to contain it. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, awaken us in such a way that we can move on with what God wants. Listen, God wants you and God needs you. By the way, that was his choice. He could have done without us. Amen? But he made a choice. He wouldn't do that. You remember the song that Pastor John leads us in many times and where we sing, "It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you, Jesus." And you sing that and you worship the Lord. I was doing that some time back, and you know, as I sang that song, I heard an echo, and I pushed it away, and I heard it again, and it was an echo coming back. "It's all about you, Jim, Dan, Steve, Lori, Lisa, it's all about you. That's why I came. That's why I died. That's why I'm coming again." I'm going to promise you that'll never puff you up with pride. I don't know anything that'll humble your heart more than to realize about Jesus Christ coming in this world and all he went through and what he's doing right now is all about you because he loves you. But it's all about you doing something that makes a difference in this world. Listen, a lot of people think that people are just going to get saved automatically. It's not going to happen that way. God is looking to you. God needs you to bring the good news of the gospel. Many times we're telling what God... Listen, we have stronger opinions about what God should do than we do obedience about what we should do. Amen? Now, I'm saying that to Jim, too. And I pray, Spirit of God, awaken our hearts and realize how much we can make a difference. And don't you think for other people. You give him a chance. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Give God the opportunity. Don't give him your opinion. Give him your obedience so he can do something with that. And God will bless you and he'll use you. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. There's so many times. Listen, the most bitter people in the world are the people who are right. I'm right. They're wrong. Can any of you remember a song about kinfolk coming by the dozen? And somewhere in that song says, "Y'all come." Anybody remember that? Just me? God bless you in the back. One person remembers it. I think that song is about to be fulfilled. You know, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Lois, Sharon's sister, and my brother-in-law, Everett, live in Dothan, Alabama. They've pastored for over 30 years. They're getting ready to come, and their daughter's coming, and two of their children are coming. And it's kinfolk are coming. And we're getting ready. They're coming for 2 weeks. And we're getting ready for that last of the month. And you know, I had to think about that with Everett, and Everett's preached here a time or two. Anybody remember that? He's unforgettable. Everett's a wonderful brother in the Lord, and they pastored, like I said, for 30 years in Dothan, Alabama. But many years ago, I got a letter from Everett, and I never received. Everett doesn't write letters; he just doesn't do that. But he wrote me a letter. And it was a thick letter, several pages. I thought, this is so cool. He says, he wrote me a letter. I felt special till I read it. I opened the letter, and he began to describe how much I hurt him and how offended he was at me. As I read that, I wish I could tell you I felt godly, but I really felt hurt, and my defenses kicked in. By the way, if you're your defender, God won't be. Amen? Please know that. I'm glad he's got my front and my back. He'll take the bullet either way. But I read that, and he said, now, Mom and Dad Metzl always preferred you over me. And, you know, everybody at college knew you better than me. And then your ministry had been more, looked like more of a success than me. And, you know, just on and on and on and on. I mean, after he got done, I felt responsible for mosquitoes being in the world. And, I'm going to tell you something. I got my pen out. I got paper. I was ready. I'll give him. You think that letter's going to be thick? Wait till you get mine. I mean, the postman, he's going to carry one letter. That's all he'll be able to handle. But I'm tell you what, I'm burning up the paper because I'm right. That wasn't my fault. I can't help what Mom and Dad thought. And I'm just doing what I know to do. And I, on and on. And boy, I'm really breezing through on the paper. You know, when you get going like that, you'll find out that you not only have one father, you got two. You'll find the next one over in John chapter 8. And there, Jesus said, you do the deeds of your father. And he describes your father. He says, your father's a devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He's a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks, it's a lie. He speaks of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. They were proclaiming, we have what? We have a father. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus straightened them up in a bit because they were saying, we got Father Abraham. They were talking about what was in the past. They didn't know the present day visitation of God and the understanding of the Son. He said, you're of the Father, all right. You're of the Father, the devil. And that father will lie to you. And that father was lying to me. And I became defensive. And I'm writing down, and I'm going fast. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, he caught me. He convicted me. And all of a sudden, in the mix of that, he challenged me. And I began to tear up my letter. I couldn't write that. And all of a sudden, I began to write again. But this time, it was a different mindset. And I began to remember, Everett, I can remember when Sharon and I first got saved. We weren't married yet. We're just going together. We'd stop at Bielendorf's grocery store, get a half gallon ice cream. We'd head to Lois and Everett's. We'd talk about Jesus and eat ice cream for 2 hours. And he taught me all about what it was to pray and be persistent and pray, and not just pray, but have a prayer life, to really know the Lord, an intimate relationship. He taught me to go out and we'd knock on doors, and I'd knock on doors hoping people weren't home, but I'd go. And all of a sudden, I start picking out the pictures of all the things, of the good things that Lois and Everett have done in our life. And I began to give thanks. I remember when I was sick and burning up with fever, and I was supposed to be at a revival service that night, and I couldn't go, and I called and said, I won't be able to come. I got a fever. I'm burning up. I can't do that. And here come Harold and Everett, and they anointed me and prayed for me. And they got all done. And Everett looked at me and said, well? And I said, what? He said, get up. Let's go to church. And I almost said I can't, but I got up and my strength was restored. My fever was gone. And suddenly, how many of you can remember the old photograph pictures, you know, you put them in? And did you pick out the worst pictures to save? No. Did you pick out the ones where you smile and had broccoli in your teeth? Or you had your hair looking like Phyllis Diller? Did you save those pictures? You saved the best ones. Why don't we do that about one another? Why don't we do that so we can forgive one another? Why don't we free people? Why don't we pigeonhole them? I want to tell you, that's what the enemy will do. And listen, when you lock down in unforgiveness, that puts a lock in your heart. You'll never be free for what the Father wants you to be if you walk in unforgiveness. The Holy Spirit wants us to understand that. Amen? And if you get beyond that, you all of a sudden find that you have a creative mind. No longer does that person and those images live in your mind. You've evicted them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now you're set free for what God wants you to be, and you can do some beautiful things. My heart was flooded with all those things because I remember what he meant to me in the foundation of my life. And I rejoice in that. I wrote to him and said, listen, whatever I am in ministry reflects back to our relationship. What you put in the foundation of my life, you're seeing form now. I want you to honor people and thank God for people in your life. Listen, they may only be in your life for a season and a reason, but thank God and honor them. Don't devalue them. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to get a clear view, because when you devalue another person, you're devaluing what Jesus Christ died for. He gave so that we could give. not only to God, but to one another. Listen, sometimes we stand here and praise God, and then all of a sudden we got a grip inside of somebody who hurt us. I'm going to tell you what, let them go. Just let them go. Let them grow by the grace of God. And if you let them go, then God can be the judge in that situation. And there's going to be times that you say, you're going to be like Jesus. You say, oh, my Father, if there's any other way, there's always another way. That's where the second father will come in. See, the Bible is a tale of two fathers. One is always telling you the truth. He's always telling you the truth. It may hurt. Sometimes truth will hurt you before it heals you. Amen? Yeah, he's got to. And if you hide from your healer, you'll always end up hurting. He can't do anything unless you reveal so he can get healed. But God wants to do that on this Father's Day. He wants to bless you in that way. Even when you pray for the political people, you ready for this? You got to pray with a forgiving heart. Or you won't. You'll be set. You're locked. I want to tell you something, folks. You got to work with a forgiving heart. They're not right. I know. I said a little bit ago, though, the most bitter people in the world are the ones that are right, and the others are wrong. It's the prodigal son. He was wrong. The elder brother, he was right. But he was more bitter than anybody. And he missed the blessing that could be because of that. The Holy Spirit wants to set us free. We need to understand that. I'm going to give you the fivefold thing to walk in forgiveness, and we're going to conclude. And you remember, I've shared this with you before, but I run through it myself. And I wish I could tell you I got this perfected. I wish I could tell you that I just walk on the floor of forgiveness and everything is wonderful. Listen, it'll cost you something to forgive. Jesus was hanging on a cross, crucified, had to pull himself up with a rending of his flesh to be able to speak, because you can't speak when you're like this. And in the rending of his flesh, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Had he not released those words in this world, we can never forgive. And you need to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Amen. Mark Twain said, kindness is something the blind can see, the deaf can hear. We need to be kind in a way that is strong and see what God will do. But when things happen, and this is all of Psalms 51, David, when he finally deals with his sin, he finally gets it to the forefront. You don't curse it. Don't deny it. It hurt. Amen? Yeah, when things happen, and people say, listen, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Give me sticks and stones anytime. Words will get like fish hooks in your heart, and there's well-intended people that will try to jerk them out, but all they do is set the hook deeper. God, by his grace, wants to go to those places, and he'll weld what the word can do in your life, and that which was intended for harm will work for good. But don't curse it. Don't deny it. But you got to get it to the point that you really deal with what's going on. And then you got to be careful about this, too. Don't rehearse it. You know, so many times we get going and we want to rehearse it. I want to get somebody on my side. Because, Don, if you'll agree with me, if any two shall agree to such any one thing, I'm really right now. I was right before, but now I'm right. With a really wrong attitude. And I'll be judged for that. I will be judged for that. It'll cost fruit in my life. And it'll take places in my mind that I could have been created for Christ, and I'll not be. Because I've got too much criticism. Listen, today's criticism becomes tomorrow's captivity. Please understand that. Also, don't nurse it. Don't feed it. Anybody here ever have a pity party? At least one? Oh, good. I thought I was the only one. But here's the problem with my pity party. The Holy Spirit shows up, rains on it, and ruins it. I'm glad he does. I really am. I'm glad he rained on me that day so I wouldn't send that letter. That would have ruined. We wouldn't have this 2 weeks coming up. There'd be no relationship anymore if I would have responded. My flesh was so weak and so offended, but the Spirit was willing to do something different. And it's what you yield to that God can use. And also come to the point where you understand you got to disperse it. You got to get it out. David said, I poured out my complaint to the Lord. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all of his troubles. Understand that. And then God can reverse it. God can reverse it. And it's an amazing thing how he does it. You won't even know he's doing it. Because all of a sudden he frees you. And listen, it may not change what's happening with other people, but it'll change you. Listen, prayer doesn't change all things, but it changes you for all things. Forgiveness is the same. So I want you to understand today, if you have anybody pigeonholed, you got them locked in. And listen, I'll tell you, the person you're most likely locked in your life is self. Many times why you can't forgive other people is because you don't know free forgiveness about your own soul, and you can't give what you haven't got. So I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment on this Father's Day. And we're going to honor our Father God. Father, you know our hearts, Jesus. And I don't know if I got it said with words, but God, I pray that you'd speak by your Spirit to precious hearts that you love here so much today. Father, these are your children. We cry out, Abba, Father. Papa, God, hear us and free us for what we want to be. God, you gave, we want to give. And Lord, first of all, we're going to give forgiveness to ourselves and to others. I want to ask, if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, this could be your day of decision, a day to be set free for God, what God wants you to be. If you've never received Christ or you've gotten away from the Lord, and it's time to come home. Today could be the day. The wonderful Father's gift is to give your heart to Him. If that's a need in your life, would you slip your hand up right where you're seated? I'll take just a moment to agree with you. I wouldn't embarrass you or put you on the spot. God bless you. And please know, my sister, God sees your hand and heart, and He so loves you, and He set everything on motion today for a new way of life that you're going to have. Son, He sees your heart, and God loves you so much. He's so proud of you as a young man that you would lift your heart this morning, making a choice right now to set your heart on Him. He'll guide and direct you from this day forward. Are there other hearts here this morning? I want to ask, are you here this morning? And you've got that person pigeonholed, and it may even be yourself. And you need to let him go. Let him go on his Father's Day, in Jesus' name. If that's you, slip your hand up. Nobody's looking. It's between you and the Lord. But it's with open hands, lift your hand up. I just surrender it. I just surrender it. Just let it go. If you've got anybody pigeonholed, if you've got yourself pigeonholed, time to let go. Father God, you see the hands and hearts. I pray in the name of the Lord that you release the peace that passes understanding. Great peace have they which love your law. And Lord, that's what we obey this day. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. What a joy to be with you, dear church family. I really love you so very much. And I'm very thankful for all that the Lord is doing in this church family. Listen, it's going to take all of us obeying what the Father has to say, and move and reach out and love people. I'll say this, and I promise I'll close. You see the empty seats here? Those are reserved. Those are all reserved for the blind. The God of this world has blinded them, at least they'd see the glorious gospel and be saved. But here's the deal. You're the light. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You'd be wise to spend $10 to get somebody to David Kennedy. You'd be wise if you take a chance. Go to your neighbor. Take a chance at work. Don't be so self-conscious. Be God-conscious. Amen. Stand with me. What I wish I could do is just reach around and give you a hug from the Father. But maybe this picture will kind of tell what I wish I could do, and also what. Would you just receive an embrace and love from your Father? And would you just take a little bit of time today to talk to your Father? Most people listen to reply. He's listening. And then you'll know what to do. Amen? I love you. Hug everybody you see. And men, be sure you get this and use it in your hand and your neck. Hi, sweetheart. Oh, wow.
How are you?
What a doll. Good. How are you, sweetheart?
Good. How's it, Sharon?
Mm. Fine. How's She's doing a lot better, huh?
Is she?
Yeah.
I heard she got cleared from some of the doctors. So she's working on.
Yeah, she's still having to get some things checked out, huh? But we're gaining ground, so we'll keep pressing. Wow, what a beautiful day. What a dog.
You're welcome to hold
him
if you want.
Come here, sweetheart. I have to remember how to hold these precious little ones. Hi. Wow.
Dawn had texted Mom about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
I said, well, that's good to share. We haven't been back yet since he's been born because we took, normally the first week I don't come back after a section because too many people hug you. that hurts.
How old is he now?
3 weeks.
Wow. What a precious child. You guys, you know, I think of you guys. I remember when you got a dog.
Yeah, he'll be 4 in January, or he'll be 5 in January, and he'll be 4 in January. And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going so fast.
Yeah, thank you, Lord, for this precious little one. What's his name?
Malachi.
Remember
Malachi
that now.
William.
Yeah. Malachi, Lord. How beautiful that name is.
Grandpa's middle
name. Yeah. What
is
that?
Name for